Good morning as well to Rolene Marks. Rolene, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I tell you, that Kula Lam song unfixed me. Oi, the tears were rolling down.
And you've actually got to go on, Rolene, go onto YouTube and watch the video, because it is absolutely, you will. It's a very emotional song, because it just cuts across different people saying, you know what, we'll get through this. We'll get through this. And, you know, it'll make us, we need it to make us better people. We need that introspection. And it's actually very interesting. I had a conversation yesterday, with a rabbi friend, and he said to me, he spoke to somebody who of Christian faith, and she said to him that, you know, she's praying just to send COVID back to where it belongs. It doesn't belong here. It must go back. And she said that what her pastor was telling her. And he said, no, I don't believe that. I believe that it's here because it's meant to be here. But then we need to look at why it's here and what we could learn from it. And I do think that that's an important distinction. It's here. And we need to look at it and say, well, what are the lessons of COVID, and how can we be better, and how is this meant to impact on the world? It's not here by mistake.
Absolutely not. You know, as the cliche says, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, the timing, as we've often discussed off air, we're approaching Rosh Hashanah. We're in the month of Elul. It's the month where we really, really take spiritual stock and stock of our lives and what we are hoping for the coming year. And, that was just a very emotional reminder by Kululam that, it's tough right now, but if we lean on each other, if we get through it, if we work with each other, we'll get through it with each other.
Absolutely. But now, talking about that, lots of strife in Israel around this, because once again, it seems to be creating a divide between different communities, different reactions to it. Israel's figures this week have been absolutely horrific.
They have been horrific. They've been absolutely astronomical, the highest that we've had since the start of the global pandemic. And not only do we have divisions within society, we are having divisions within the government, and so much so that the Prime Minister has actually been called before a special Knesset hearing next week to answer some very, very difficult questions about his handling of the coronavirus crisis and the way that the economy has been handled. And the Prime Minister has been quick to blame Professor Ronnie Gamzu, who they call the coronavirus czar. I hate that word, czar,
also
because
hate
of
it.
All the connotations from the past. And you know, you and I often agree on these things. And just a little side anecdote, I was chatting to a pilot earlier this week. You know, you and I said the flyover, you know, with the German Luftwaffe, it was a little bit bittersweet because of the connotations of Luftwaffe. He also had the same thoughts that, But it's the same when we use the term coronavirus czar. So the Prime Minister will be hurled in front of a Knesset committee. Naftali Bennett saying yesterday that it's not enough to stand in front of the media and take all the accolades with regards to the Abraham Accords, the now historic normalization agreement with the United Arab Emirates. You now have to answer the very tough questions. And a lot of division taking place in the country this week, because we are seeing that areas that are inhabited by some of our Arab communities and some of our ultra-Orthodox communities have the highest numbers of infections. And, you know, we're trying very hard to reassure these communities that they don't have the mark of Cain, to quote Professor Gamzu, because we have to now lock down 30 cities across the country, including places like B'nai Brak, including places within Jerusalem, including towns like Kalansawa, Al Faham, Kalkilia, which are Arab villages, but they do have high infection rates. And we've also had the divisions because of certain communal leaders saying, don't go for testing. You know, carry on regardless. You don't have to keep with the social distancing. And, you know, it's creating literal pandemonium. And it's creating our rate of infections and our mortality rate. Also, a very, very important statistic, our mortality rate to get extremely high. And we really want to bring this down. And we don't want to move towards a situation of full lockdown for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur for so many reasons. It affects small businesses. Many of us are still trying to deal with the emotional scars of being locked down for Pesach, and the little that we have right now is to be with immediate family, for the, Yom Tovim, for the Chagim. And we don't want to be in a situation where we have to go into full lockdown. And we've also had threats from the ultra orthodox, parties within the government saying that, if we move towards lockdown, they will pull out of the government, which will collapse the, already fragile coalition. So it's a very, very difficult situation,
but isn't the situation
right now for Israel with Corona.
Isn't the situation largely because of that? Isn't it because the government is too weak to make any decisions? Because the minute they make one on the one side, the religious parties threaten. If they make a decision that offends somebody else, that other party threatens. And so they are actually completely paralyzed. I mean, that's my perception of it.
Well, that's a sense that we're all getting, and increasing frustration amongst Israelis for the way that the government is failing to handle this. But we've had this issue not just with coronavirus, but on many, many crises throughout our history. And, you know, there has to come a point where you say enough is enough. You have to put people's health and people's safety before your political aspirations. And also sometimes before ritual. This has been hard for everybody. It's been hard for Muslims who haven't been able to celebrate Ramadan as they normally would have. It's been hard for all of us with the Chagim. It will probably be very hard for Christian communities as we move towards Christmas at the end of the year. And, you know, South Africa, I have to commend the Rabbi Nut in South Africa, the Beit Din, the communal leaders for the outstanding way that you have handled the difficulties surrounding observance and surrounding, you know, dealing with coronavirus. It's an example that, you know, we should be taking cognizance of. So as we approach some very, very difficult days ahead, you know, a lot of us are extremely, extremely frustrated by what we see as a government being held hostage.
Absolutely. Let's focus on normalization. Certainly was a very big week as well, as far as that was concerned. LL flight flying over Saudi Arabia to UAE for the very first time. We have reports in the news that you can now order kosher food at some of the hotels. There's been minyanim. I saw that Avi Meir announced yesterday that his organization is setting up an office in Dubai. It's messianic.
It is messianic. It's extraordinary. You know, just this morning it's been announced that Bahrain have also opened up their airspace to Israeli air traffic. We will have the first cargo planes, not just the AJC setting up office, but also Keren Hayesod, also the World Zionist Organization, and I know my own organization, we've been discussing, we don't know, is there potential to open up a federation there? You know, we're going to have to find that out. But of course, what's truly messianic, Howard, as we know, is shoes. And the first business to open up stores, five stores, in fact, across the UAE, will be Scoop Shoes. So don't let anyone tell you, Howard, Zanati, everybody else, that shoes cannot change the world, because they absolutely can. And also, very special for the South African Jewish community, not just having the representation as far as kashrut and as far as helping the Jewish community and the mishlachat or the emissaries that came from Israel, Ross Creel, who is South African, but also the pilot, Avi Becker. This was being discussed across the country this week. A South African pilot who went to King David piloting this absolutely historic flight. And word coming from the Saudis, the Bahrainis, and the Omanis that they are interested in talking to Israel with cooperation in certain fields, largely security and intelligence, but also trade as well. So it looks like even though they may be taking more tentative steps than the UAE, steps are being taken. Very, very, very thrilling indeed.
Absolutely, really, just unbelievable. And the other thing that was unbelievable was marijuana being dropped all over Tel Aviv yesterday by a green drone. What on earth is going on? And why? Where is that green drone when South Africa needs it?
Well, all I can tell you is there are a lot more relaxed and albeit very hungry people across Tel Aviv this morning. But it wasn't purple rain, it was green rain. So what happened was Am Yisrael got high yesterday as some mischievous people sent a drone packed with little packets of marijuana and dropped it over Kikar Rabin, which I don't know why they chose Kikar Rabin as a target, Howard. People in Kikar Rabin are relaxed anyway because there's big lounges there. But some of it blew down Ibn Gibrol, which is very, very, very smart thinking because of the amount of restaurants there. So, you know, one of the side effects is the munchies or getting a little bit peckish. So but unfortunately for many, the culprits were discovered and arrested very, very quickly. But what can we say? Am Israel, hi.
Unbelievable. It is just the most incredible, incredible story that only will come out of Israel.
It is absolutely one of those only in Israel moments. But we're thinking, you know, maybe the next time fly your drone over the Knesset. Clearly, it is
people there who need it who need it more. Absolutely. And and earlier this week, Rolene, you interviewed two survivors about this Munich story. So tell us the story first, and share your experience with us if you don't mind.
Well, it's incredible. You know, on Saturday we will commemorate the Munich massacre that took place at the 1972 Munich Olympics. This is when terrorists from Black September broke into the Munich Olympic village, targeting the Israeli delegation. They killed Moshe Weinberg, one of the coaches who tried to put up a fight, and Yosef Romano, who was a wrestler who also tried to put up a fight, and took 9 other members of the delegation hostage. It took them to an airfield. They demanded the release of about 234 Palestinian prisoners of terror that were being held in Israeli jails. Golda Meir was the prime minister at the time, and the policy of the government was we don't negotiate with terrorists. The German government at the time were also not prepared with counter-terror measures. It went horribly, horribly wrong. And the remaining 9 hostages were slaughtered by Black September. But what is absolutely extraordinary is I sat down with Olympic fencer. He was the youngest member of the delegation, Judo Weinstein. He told me his story. He was just 17 years old and was staying in the room in the middle of the two rooms where the other hostages were. And in retrospect, you know, we found out that Moshe Weinberg actually told the terrorists there were no Israelis in that room. And by some sheer miracle, Yehuda, Dan Alon, who was his roommate, and the two other roommates managed to jump out of the window and run for their lives, managed to get to safety. And he was telling me his story about seeing the pool of blood, seeing the terrorists. And he said, you know, maybe it was my age or sheer stupidity. He said, I just jumped off and I literally ran for my life, thinking at any moment they could shoot me in the back. And he went on to become an IAF combat pilot. Of course, Howard, you know, I love a good fighter jet. I made him also explain to me in explicit detail what it feels like to fly a jet. And he said to me, you know, it's amazing. You take off. He says, but when you put those afterburners on, it's a swift kick in the tochas. He says, but it's an incredible experience. He actually lectured to the delegation that went for this flyover, a very poignant moment to have a survivor of the Olympic massacre speaking to this delegation who would fly over Dachau in tribute to victims of the Shoah and also to Munich. But I also interviewed another survivor. A very interesting story that not many people know is that Germany at the time invited all participating countries to send a youth delegation, to represent their companies as a symbol of goodwill. And this delegation, once word was finalized that the members of the team had been massacred and the remaining members had been sent home very quickly for their safety, they were tasked with representing Israel at the memorial ceremony. He said very, very difficult, but more difficult was accompanying the bodies home and the families who now had lost their loved ones and having to sit next to widow Anki Spitzer, the widow of a fencing coach, Andre Spitzer, very, very difficult. And may their memories all be blessed as we remember them tomorrow.
Absolutely right. Rolene Marks, thank you. That's where we leave it. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Shabbat Shalom.